Anybody here to bless and worship the name of your Lord? Can you imagine a moment in this world without Jesus? Many have had a week from hell. Is that not a true statement? Oh, the pastor said hell. But, you know, hell is described in God's Word. It is a very real thing. And too many times I think the church has just dulled down the truth. We are born into this world headed for hell. Until we cry out to God and we respond to His pursuit and calling on our life, we are lost as rocks. Fortunately, we have the handbook to life. Now, I don't know who said it. I saw it in a movie, some dumb movie. Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Believer's instruction before leaving earth. We're going to leave this earth one day. And how do you make it through this thing we call life in your own strength? You don't. God has provided an open line of communication that to this day we still have freedom to access. We pray to Him and cry out to Him and beat His chest when we're down and out, I hope. Because we can. He wants to hear from us. And we want to hear from Him. And so we cry out to Him. And we cry out to Him. And we cry out to Him. And we never hear His voice because we never open His Word, His Word, His Word. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts deep between joint and marrow and makes us who He created us to be. If you knew me 50 years ago, you would go, "Where's James? Where's Jimmy?" Yeah, where's Jimmy? That's hilarious. Look, I had the privilege to spend 3 hours with my childhood friend last night. I'm sure we both came away with, "He's not the guy I hung out with. We were hoodlums." "I'm a pastor? What?" "He's a machinist? He's the most generous person on the planet?" But if you had seen us when we were 19 and much older, man, God is doing a work. So that's my icebreaker, my opening, speaking from my heart. Love Jesus, love others. Amen. We'll see you next week. No, this is a difficult sermon for me to preach because it's directed at us. Me first, because I just spent a lot of time, and now you get the highlights. So, I want to pray, and then we'll get into God's Word. Father, again, we thank You for the life-giving book You have given us, the Bible. And I pray that we would heed its instruction, that we would hide it in our heart, so that when time does get tough, we have You to turn to for our strength. Help us hide this message in our heart and let us draw on it throughout the week, throughout this life, until You call us home or come again. I ask this in the matchless power of Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you have your Bibles, let me make sure I'm on task here since I have gone down the biggest bunny trail. Yeah. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5. And so if you would take time to find that or pull it up on your phone while you're looking, let me just go back to chapter 4 where we see the beginning of Jesus' ministry where He's tested in the wilderness. He begins to preach. He calls some unlikely people to follow Him. And then He's healing the sick. That's Matthew chapter 4. And then here as we begin in chapter 5 at verse 1. I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. And if you read chapter 4, I think the creator of the universe, God's own Son, needed a break. And he went away. And then his followers came to him. And so Jesus' break was over, and he begins to teach them. So we're going to pick up at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There's so much information in that passage of Scripture, and I'm just priming the pump. And we're going to look at that next week and unpack all that it says. But would you consider yourself blessed? I am a blessed man. But as we go through life, many times people find themselves discouraged. I do. And rightly so. If over the course of time you experience someone constantly putting you down, and there's a good chance maybe we're too hard on ourselves. It's not that difficult to become disheartened. Would you agree? I mean, we tend to think we have no purpose in life. And I want to tell you today, that is not true. Whatever your life experience may be up to this point, with all the talents and the physical abilities God has given you, we have a purpose. Here at Christ Little Topahawken Church, we stand on the Word of God. And so for a second, I want to tell you what the Word of God says about you and me. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to think about. Thank you for knowing God's Word. To do! What am I doing that brings honor and glory to Jesus? I don't know, but people tell me I do. I thank you, Mary Beth, for the insight that you already have everything you're defending in your heart. And I'm hoping that it flops over and spills onto the ground wherever I stand. Look, God created us, and not one of us is an accident. He didn't go, oh, I messed him up. Oh, no, she's not what I thought. He created us with a purpose and a plan. You and I are His workmanship. He doesn't make junk. Have you heard that all your life? Because that's what people tell me. Because I'll tell you, I walked around like this, walking to school. I always had my head down. I always thought lowly of myself. I never. And then there's people that God planted in my life that said, no, James, you're a priceless poema, a treasure, and God loves you. And I go, He does? And then I have to choose to believe it and walk in His strength. We need to understand God has a plan for us. And I'll tell you where I'm walking right now, I don't get it. Not one iota. Everywhere around me, since I'm talking about life, there is death. My mom don't know how to handle this process of death. People in the church are dealing with death. My friends from my childhood are dying of a gross disease. Why is God? And then I just hear of others. Lucy's sister. Death, 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 death. How many times do I have to get hit? We live in a dying world. And we're destined for some place nobody wants to go. We talked about that last month. But we, as believers of Jesus Christ, because of the salvation He has given us, we have hope. And this hope must be shared with those who are hurting. For you and me, there is purpose in life. If for nothing else, we were created to know God. Who wants to know more about Jesus besides me? If there's more Jesus, show me, teach me, instruct me. Please don't hammer me so hard. But sometimes that's what He does. The Bible tells us that you can enter into a close relationship with God through the belief of Jesus Christ. Has this been made abundantly clear throughout this month? One more time, class. What does John 3:3 tell us? Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." We are born spiritually dead. We need to be spiritually made alive in Christ. And it will take a lifetime to unpack that and understand it. This is a very important statement to know. That's John 3:3. Later in John 14:6, Jesus tells us what, class? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Not James, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in Romans 10:9-10 instructs, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe in the core of your being, your heart, that God raised Him from the dead, which is not natural, that is supernatural, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Justified, I never sinned. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Jesus is Lord. He gave His life for me. The least I can do is live for Him. Yes, church? All of humanity has at least one purpose in life, and that is to get close to God through prayer, through reading and memorizing and meditating on Scripture, and hanging out with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes? I know one person on the planet who lives for this day. She's 92 years old, and in less than an hour, she's going to be sitting in front of a giant screen TV watching her favorite exposition of God's Word. She lives for Sunday. 2 or 3 weeks ago, she was so sad when there was a guest preacher. She didn't get to see her man. Do you live for Sunday? I don't. I live for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because every day, this is the day the Lord has made. Yes? Let's just hang out and be happy. I mean, rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Another purpose in life is to glorify God. I don't know why, but it's in the book. Isaiah 43:6-7. And before I even share one verse, or these two verses, read the whole chapter. It's phenomenal. But verses 6 and 7 says, "Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Listen, everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, for whom I formed and made." I'm not making this stuff up. Read Isaiah 43. powerful passage of Scripture for those who believe. Don't leave it in your phone or on the table. Again, pick it up. Be nourished and strengthened. And how about this purpose in life? To praise and worship God. Again, in Psalm 86, verse 9, the psalmist tells us, "All the nations who you have made will come and worship before you. O Lord, they will bring glory to your name." That's you and me. We came to glorify God, yes. In our singing, in our prayers, in my teaching. Go a little further in the same psalm at verse 12, and we read, "I will praise you." Will you praise your Lord? The psalmist says, "I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all of my heart, the core of my being, anything I can master, I will glorify your name forever." How are you doing that? Because I fall miserably. My mind is a battleground. And if anybody says, "I got it, I'm sealed, life is good," they're lying. Because life is hard. And I don't know how you can get through this life on your own. As believers of Jesus Christ, we have an important purpose. And that's to grow in character. To become more like Jesus and less like me. If you meet, maybe one day we'll meet Alan. I'm telling you, he's a scary guy and he's the coolest looking guy on the planet right now. He's all salt and pepper. And I had a great night last night. I'm still trying to get over it. Anyway, we're to grow in character. The type of person you become is so much more important than your successes and failures in life. These are the things that mold and shape us into the people we were created to be. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm dented and broken, and that your grace covers me, and that you love me enough to let me stand here and encourage people to encourage people. Because that's who God uses. We spent time in the last looking at Galatians 5, 22 and 23 to see the character qualities of Christ Himself. Do you remember what they are, class? Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit. So what are we supposed to look like? We're supposed to be loving and joyful and kind and patient and peaceful and good and, did I say faithful and gentle? This is the one that's so hard, to be self-controlled. When the world wants me, I say, "No, Jesus got me. Get behind me." We were created to spread the gospel. We're to tell about Jesus' love for them. You're broken and Jesus loves you. "I think lowly of me." Don't. God loves you. He made you. He doesn't make junk. Psalm 96, verse 3 says, "Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples." If you knew and could see the work God has done in my life, you can. If you see and look at the work He's done in your life, that's the story we tell. I was, and now I am. Isaiah 12:4 says, "Make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted." Lord, we lift Your name on high. We receive a charge in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The charge is what? Go into the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And listen, teaching them to obey everything I have suggested to you. Oh, I'm really glad that you're following along. that I have commanded you. God's word is not suggestions. We are created to use the talents God has given us. Your purpose, my purpose in life, is to develop your gift. What's God gifted you to do? If you're in Matthew, leaf back, I think it's six books, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You're in Matthew, so Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. God is doing a work in me. And you get to see it. God is doing a work in you, and I get to see it in you, and I do. Well done, church. Drop down to verses 12 through 14. We read, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Drop down to verses 18 through 27. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Listen, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And it's imperative. I'm a little toe. And that's all I need to be. And God lets me stand up here and talk about great things. And equips you to do great things. It's not my job to do everything. My job for such a time as this is to encourage you and to ignite you. And then it's your job to get a body of people to go into the world and do something. And then it's your job to follow that person's lead. But God is doing it all through you. Through you. Through you. Believe it or not, through me. I don't see how, but He does. That's how it works. Take time this week to read the whole of this chapter. That's 1 Corinthians 12. And you're going to see in verses 7 through 11 a list of gifts. And then you'll have that to serve as a reference. So you can always go back to and say, hey, is this my gift? Because I have many gifts. And they seem to alternate and move. And I'm gifted at such a point in time. I'm not always gifted to teach. I'm not always gifted to preach. Sometimes I'm gifted to just have empathy or compassion or to just throttle you with a big stick. This is what we read from the NLT, verses 7 through 11. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit that distributes all these gifts. And He alone decides which gift each person should have. We have different gifts according to the grace, God's love that has been given to us that we are to share and show others. All who choose to follow Jesus, listen, form the body of Christ. The body is formed of many different parts. We just saw that in 1 Corinthians 12 through 27. And all are important. Don't be upset if you don't have a place of prominence. We just read, God gives special honor to people with less honorable roles. Sometimes we downplay the value of what we do. And we need to watch falling into that spot where we're always comparing ourselves to others. If someone seems to do a better job than you, don't let it get you down. Because I have to be reminded of this daily. Daily.
Stop listening to that voice in your head.
You laugh, it's true. That's exactly how in my head. And so do other people in my life. I won't mention any names, but you're real good at helping me stay on the straight and narrow. Thank you. When we get right down to it, of course there's others who have more talent. But think of it, if all the evangelists standing in the pulpits or those who go to the street corners to witness or teachers, what if they all decided to stop trying because somebody else did a better job? Where would we be? Right here, in the box. Yeah. Look, Moses said it, I said it. I can't speak. I can't draw. I don't know. What if somebody asked me something I don't know the answer to? Holy smokes, that is a real yikes. And you know how I'm going to answer? I don't know. It's in the book. I can resource it. I'll talk to you on Tuesday, get back to you by Thursday. What counts is that you're faithful to the one who called you by name and gifted you for such a time as this. God gave you talents and abilities, and He expects you to do the work, to develop them. Do you remember my first sermon here? Holy smokes, it was pathetic. Amen. And now I can't shut up. I'm animated and I speak loud and it's like, who is that guy? And that's just in 6 years. Holy smokes, what are we going to be in 6 years? I'm excited to see. Will you go with me? I'm going with you. Develop the gifts God has given me. So let me close by saying what Matthew 5, 13 through 16 tells us. If you want to flip back those 6 chapters to Matthew chapter 5, where we began, we read it verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Listen, this is key. You, put your name there, James in my instance, Ron in your instance, whatever your name is, Josh in your instance, visitor, put your name there. You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it in a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, listen, let your light shine before men. Why? So they can see your good deeds. No, so they can see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Your Father. You bring glory to your Father when you reflect Him well. When you're patient, when you're kind, when you're gentle, when you want to run a person over in front of you sitting in traffic. Does anybody struggle with that?
Never.
See? We're all alike, and God uses us to do great things. Not to be seen by me. James, great delivery. I loved your sermon. Good job. I don't need it. Show me. I'm going to go and be fascinated when I drive instead of frustrated when I drive. This guy fascinates me. How can he do 18 miles under the speed limit? I'm fascinated. I preached the first sermon this year, Renewing Your Mind. What are you going to do different this year? I'm going to do this. Ready? Do you remember that sermon? Oh, yes. 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 I'm not asking you to do something I'm not doing. So because you're here and you weren't here on the first Sunday of the year, I said we need to renew our mind. What are you going to do different? And I purposed to do push-ups. I said I'm going to do one. And if I do one, I'll do two. And if I can do three, I can do more than three. Just time. But I'm not preaching smoke and mirrors here. I'm suggesting we do something. And I'm not asking you to do something. I'm not going to ask you to eat Brussels sprouts if I'm not eating my Brussels sprouts. I said I would do a push-up. I did push-ups. You and I are the light of the world. I'm not hiding my light under a bowl. I'm putting it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in this house so that you can be a light in this dark world. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Look, we're born dead. Fortunately, we're walking in the shadow of death when we're walking with Jesus. Read Psalm 23. Probably everybody here's got it memorized, and if you've been to a funeral, you've heard it. It's just a shadow, but it's very real until you meet Jesus and you allow Him to do a work in you that He created in advance for us to think about, to do. Father, I thank You for Your Spirit who ignites us and excites us. And I pray that You would become more and more alive in each one of our lives. That we're not here by accident today. You called each one of us by name. And I pray that this message has encouraged us to be all that You created us to be. That we would fearlessly and boldly make known the gospel. Jesus saves. In You there is life. And without You, there is none. Let us make that known. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.